everyone, and welcome to Phone Show Chat. It's show 881, and unbelievably, it's February 2026. The new month has started, and it's soon going to be blazing hot. I can see it coming. Let's not moan about that. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm a bit tired because I went to a football match last night and went to extra time. So, yeah, a little bit tired, but I'm all right other than that. Thanks.
Home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, not quite as late as that, but I'm getting old now, so even 11:30 is late enough.
Our special guest this week is James Reed, who I can't remember how long it's been since you've been on the show. Can you, James?
No, it's probably the last time I bought a phone off you, Ted, so it's probably a couple of years ago.
Yeah, in the old look PSC, of course, the new look PSC, this will be your first appearance. Yes. And as I recall, you live in the Midlands somewhere and you're a doctor.
That's right, I do. I live in Birmingham, so right in the middle of the country. And yes, I am, for my sins, I'm actually a psychiatrist, so I'm a medical doctor, but specialise in treatment of mental illnesses. But I do actually, with work, I also do some IT and technical work for the trust I work for.
Ah, right. Perhaps we'll come to that in due course. Okay, nice to have you on the show anyway. Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
PhoneShowChat.uk is our website with two S's in the middle, and you can pick up all the links you need from there. If you get lost, you can head for tedsalmon.com and you'll get even more links there from the MeWe groups and the all the audio podcast stuff and all the rest of it. So hang on in there. Now, talking of audio, I did put an appeal out in the group, in the MeWe group this week, to say to people, let's have some audio clips, and I've got none so far. I remember doing this before. I said, if anyone would like to send over a short audio clip, say 2 to 3 minutes, on any topic they like to do with phones and related stuff, we're happy to pin them together and make some kind of PSC group members special now and again, or plug them into an ordinary show if they're related to what we're covering, then send them over to my email address, which most people listening to this will know, and if they don't, then they don't have to work too hard to work it out. But yeah, like before, I didn't get one response. A couple of people said, oh yeah, that's a good idea, I'll send one over, but I've had nothing yet. So perhaps it's just an idea that will flitter away. When Steve and I were doing that, we tended to get a bit of a response when we were doing some sort of special, like our 500th show or something, but not routinely. So perhaps it's going to fly off in the wind somewhere, that idea. Jeremy Harpham is next. PSC meetup interest for the UK. He's put a post in the group, as he said he would when he was on the show a few weeks ago. If you would be interested in attending a PSC meetup somewhere in the UK, please send an email to jeremy.harpham@outlook.com and let him know your name, your town, your county, your preferences for a meetup in a pub or coffee shop, Saturday or Sunday, morning, afternoon, evening, your maximum travel time. This will allow me, he says, to compile the info and work out which locations in the UK would work the best. We'll let you know about meetups on the PSC podcast, MeWe group, and I can email those directly in the immediate area of any meetup location. He says, your information is only used for the purpose of assessing organising meetups on PSC. We won't sell it, honest. Realistically, we might get a couple of meets outside London, but let's see what happens. Jeremy, thanks for doing that. And hopefully you'll get some response from people who will give you some data and we can move that forward. So there you are. Right, OK, then, guest gala time, straight in. To the top. James, this is your space, this is your time, use it however you want and we'll chip in and see where we go, as long or short as you like.
Great, thanks very much. Yeah, well, I thought I'd have nothing to say, but then when I started thinking about it, actually I turned up a few things, so we'll see how we get on. So I'll start with my choice of phone. I've always been in Android forever. I've never owned an iPhone, and I've only ever owned one Apple device, I think, which was an iPod I bought about I don't know, a long time ago when they were a thing. So I've always been in the Android universe, and for a long time I used to buy fairly cheap Chinese phones that were fine actually. But then my son, who has a better taste in things, and he definitely appreciates the finer things in life, eventually persuaded me I ought to have something a bit better. So I've had a couple of Samsung flagships, and I recently upgraded from an S22 Ultra to an S24 Ultra. I think both of which had come from the classifieds group originally. And I got a good deal on both of them. And the S22 Ultra was a great introduction to what it was like to have a sort of flagship type phone, and I really, really like it. But I don't know, I had a real, the battery life was, I think when I was on here the last time, actually, I think I'd just bought it, and I remember you telling me then how the battery life on them was, well, how the battery life in a later one, like an S23 and S24, would be a lot better. And it certainly was. I mean, on the 22, it was, I mean, whether the one I had was running out of steam anyway, but it was barely making it to lunchtime before it had lost, you know, three quarters of its life, whereas the new ones, dramatically better. I mean, it runs the whole day, and I'm not a big user, but I still have most of it left over, so that's been really nice.
There's definitely an issue there with Snapdragon chipsets, and I remember when I swapped from the 22 to the 23, I couldn't believe the difference, and most people were saying that's what it was, it's not an Exynos, and that's why everyone shouts and screams about wanting Snapdragon.
I was going to say the same, Ted. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I wouldn't have believed it, actually. I've got to say, I was astonished. So it's been fantastic. Really happy with that. And I do like the form factor better as well, because the S22, although it was always in a case, you know, I mean, I wouldn't dare carry any of these phones without them being in one of these Spigen cases. I can't believe that people do, actually, because they're so slippery and you know, the slightest drop. And well, you know, and it's had its, but you know, I guess they do. But I've anyway. There's something about the squarer shape of the S24 that I find a lot more pleasing, and it feels a lot chunkier, which I like. So that's been great. So I don't use, like, never mind 75. I probably don't use like 95% of the fancy things on it. I can, you know, I'm the opposite of a power user. And I do feel a bit guilty that all this fancy technology is completely wasted on me. Like, I don't ever use the S Pen, really. In fact, I don't think I ever use it. Once in a while, I'll pop it out to make sure I've still got it and it still works. But I haven't. I can't draw, you know. And I've never remembered to do the circle to search and all that stuff. But I have used it as a camera shutter occasionally, and it's good for that.
I think that the main use for me was taking it out when the screen was off and you're standing in a bus queue and you can just instantly write on the outside of the screen that you don't need to open it up. You just write on it, put the pen away, and it saves the note.
Yeah, I need to be better at using that. And that part of the problem is because I never had it. I'm still, even though I've had it a few years now, I still don't really think of it. Because I gather that the S25, again, my son who knows about these things was complaining they sort of dumbed it down and it wasn't, the S Pen wasn't quite as good, he was saying. But I don't really know much about that.
Yeah, that's right. The Bluetooth functionality's gone from it.
Yeah, they've made it more of a dumb pen. That thing you were talking about with your camera shutter, that doesn't work on it any longer. But there is talk about, Joe, I think, bringing it back on the S26, isn't there?
Yeah, I hope so, because there was quite a few people that were upset by that. And surely it doesn't cost that much to have that feature in there. Let's see.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be buying an S25, whatever happens. I'll usually skip at least one generation, if not two. So hopefully by the time they get to the S27, then I might actually think about all S27 it would be. I might buy one then, maybe, or even the S26, but I'm happy to skip the S25 for the time being.
One of the things I didn't like about the S24, for me personally, was that when they made the corners so square, the S23 Ultra had more rounded corners, I thought, and then suddenly the S24 Ultra was sticking in my palm when I was using it. You've got a case on it, obviously, so perhaps it makes a difference. Yeah.
Well, I've got one of these Spigen cases on, which, to be fair, I'm looking at it now. They've accentuated the corners of these big sort of corner brace things on, but I don't mind that, actually. I just think it gives you something solid to hold on to, so I'm quite happy with it. I quite like that look, actually. So that's been nice.
One-handed use, no chance.
Well, you know, I haven't got particularly big hands, but I can manage just about, but I don't go out and about that much. I'm sort of sitting on my desk most of the time these days. Yeah. But yeah, so that's that. So I don't know. I've entertained the idea of what I might get next. I quite fancy the idea of a folding phone, like a Fold 7 or something. So we'll see about that. I mean, I've only just got this, so I can't really allow myself any more phones for the time being. I do try and exercise restraint on phones, so I only buy a new one every couple of years at the moment, which is
sensible. Yeah.
I know, you know what? It's just partly because the effort involved in moving from one to another is so. I'm so lazy these days. It's just too much like hard work. I think when I was younger, I'd have been more up for it.
If you're moving from Samsung to Samsung, I think that is so easy now.
Yeah.
It's not really an excuse, James, that you can use much longer. What's the app called? Smart so Switch,
Samsung
isn't it?
Switch.
Smart Switch. Yeah. Smart Switch.
And it's almost as good as Apple, to be honest. Apple remains a little bit better, but you know, the Galaxy is not far off of it at all. So yeah, there is that.
That was really good, I have to say. I was impressed with that because I'd never tried anything like that before. I think I went from the S22 to this, and it was impressive. It really was, right down to, I mean, didn't remember all the passwords, but it seemed to remember at least some of them, and some of the apps seemed to be signed in as I'd left them. So that was pretty good.
I think the where Apple have got the edge still, they I mean, it drills right down even to, like, if you're involved in a game that you're playing, it saves exactly where you were in the game.
Wow.
As an example, it's just much better than anyone else do. But yeah, I think they're all catching up for sure. So you don't fancy a folder? I was using my original generation Pixel Fold today, and I had it open, and I thought to myself, yeah, this is really nice. Why don't I use this? But I guess, as you say, if you're someone that sits in front of a computer most of the time, and if you're not sitting in front of a computer, you're having meetings or whatever, then you just don't need it.
I do fancy it. I mean, I think, I don't know, we'll see what happens. But maybe the next time I buy a phone, I'll be able to, something like the Fold 7 or even whatever the new one is, might start to be becoming a bit more affordable towards. So I fancy it. I really do. Mm-hmm. Especially having seen them. But yeah, maybe not. I just don't think, I think I'd play with it and then I'd end up just using the phone closed the whole time. That's what I think would probably actually happen.
Yeah, you're right. But this whole passport thing might change things a bit. The aforementioned original generation Pixel Fold, you know, the I don't know if you've seen in the news, but there is moves towards various companies trying to emulate that and make it a passport-style fold rather than a tall kind of Galaxy Fold fold.
Yeah.
And I think that might make a difference to some people.
Interesting. Well, yeah. So I'll keep an open mind there, but I'm not so bothered about the site. It just looks like fun. I mean, it's as simple as that. So I'll find the right time.
They are fun. I must admit. They are.
Oh yeah, because you're the king of folds, Joe. You love your Honor, don't you?
Yeah, my Honor V5 is fantastic. It's such a beautiful device. I would recommend considering the V5 over the Fold 7. Okay. But the Fold 7 is beautiful as well, though. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, cool. So that's that. And then that brings me on to the first, well, it's a bit of a gripe, I suppose, about USB-C ports. And the new phone, for whatever reason, seems to be having more trouble with my cables than my older one did. I used to think so, in that they seem to just be, particularly the one I use for charging by the bed, often wake up in the morning and find it seems to have fallen out. And there's a couple of things, like ones in the car, again, that just don't seem to slot in properly. Or they do, but they're not as snugly as they used to. Whereas other ones, like if I buy a brand new one, it's fine. And I bought a new headset, and that was fine. So I don't know if I'm imagining things. Or if there's some, if just, you know, the tolerances vary from even one phone to another. But I've never noticed it quite like this before. But the trouble is, I buy a brand new cable, it fits very well. So it may just be my imagination.
Could be pocket lint in there.
Well, you know what? This sounds ridiculous, but I've actually changed the way I use my pockets because of this. So I always used to keep tissues and things in my pocket. And now I'm making, you know, I say when I kept my phone, and now I'm being very careful to only put my phone in the one pocket on my and nothing else to try and avoid that. And it has been a bit better, because the old one, I did manage to pick a surprising amount of stuff out of it with a, you know, a bit of plastic, and I, it was surprising how much, and it did make a big difference. And I've given this one a bit of a go. I probably need to try again. I couldn't really fish much out of it, but it only takes a time. It only takes one bit, doesn't it, to cause an issue?
Yeah, I find a staple folded out flat works.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I was always nervous of getting any metal in there.
I threw this problem at Gemma today, at Gemini, and one of the things that she said was use a non-metallic toothpick. Don't put metal in there, Joe.
I've done many a time. I had one customer who had a piece of glass in there.
I've used the end of a cable tie. That's quite good because that's quite thin and quite flexible, and you can flick it around without damage. So I've had some success with that, but I can't say I have any toothpicks in the house, metallic or otherwise.
Toothpicks are probably a little bit too thick. You want something slightly thinner, don't you?
As I say, a cable tie, if they're the very small zip tie ends, they're kind of tapered and they're very flexible, and if you get the right one of those, you can, it actually fits very nicely between the, you know, the middle bit and the outer bit. So I'll give that another go. So that's the only slight niggle, but it's probably also, I'm a cheapskate and have a lot of old cables.
The last time I went to the dentist, to the hygienist, she gave me a packet of these dental pick thingies and told me to go away and shove them in between my teeth every half an hour forever. Gemini's reply, she said about dental picks, and thinking about those, I don't know if you can imagine what they are or know what they are, but they are very thin and they're very plastic and very gentle. I think that might be a better idea.
Well, it gave me an excuse to buy some new cables, which I did, and they're much better. So it's probably at least as much just having a lot of old, and I do have a lot of old cables lying around. So that was that one. And then there's two other rods in there. Oh, one bit, I'll pick this up because it's more phone related. It's about Android Auto in the car. I don't know if either of you've had any experience with this. So Android Auto is like a car mode, and a lot of modern, well, even not that modern cars these days support it, although usually you have to plug your phone into the car direct with a wire for it to work, because it does something like I don't know how exactly it works, but it establishes I think it has a Bluetooth connection, but it also needs a data channel as well, and it's quite nice because it shows you the maps and everything on the screen, and you can access your apps on the car screen. So that's good, but it's a pain plugging your phone in all the time. And there is a wireless version of it that I think if you've got a new car, which I don't have, it supports. But there are these dongles you can buy that are supposed to convert a wired one to wireless, but I've had a very mixed experience with them. They just work about half the time for no apparent reason, because I've got a new car, a new to me car that's about 10 years old, and that one, it literally did half the time the dongle picks it up and half the time it doesn't, with no rhyme or reason why. So that's an interesting, I'm interested, Joe, I don't know if you've had any experience of Android Auto anywhere.
Yeah, I remember it always coming off where the cable would move slightly, and it's very frustrating. I'm quite an anxious driver as well, so if I don't know where I'm going and that pops off, I'll get a bit of a panic. It's a horrible experience. I mean, I haven't driven for a long time actually, which is another subject, but yeah, Android Auto was not my friend.
It's one of these things, like when it works, it's great. I mean, I love it when it's working. And as I say, I think in one of the cars, I've got one of these dongles, and it's in a Ford car that I've got, and that one mostly works. And the trouble is you become completely dependent on it, but like you say then, because you don't ever even have to think about where you're going. And even if you listen to a podcast or whatever, it pops that up and you can control. It's really nice. But because of this, the other one having a wire and remembering to plug it in, and then again, especially, you know, then it falls out and it's a nightmare, and you spend more time fiddling around with a wire and you're not really paying attention to the road, which isn't really the point. So anyway, I'm going to persevere with these wireless dongles, because I did in the other car, I had a really cheapo Chinese radio that I bought, and that did have wireless Android Auto built in, and that worked pretty well. Nine times out of ten that would connect up, and that was really handy.
So my missus bought one for our car, but she's obviously an Apple user, But yeah, the same concept. It's a little dongle that allows her to do it.
Does that work?
Yeah, very well. And she said the company do a Android version. So I'll look it up for you and I'll ping that across.
I have a feeling that from what I've gathered, that Apple CarPlay is a more reliable system. It's a completely different how it works. It's totally different. But people do say that CarPlay is, generally speaking, pretty solid. And I suspect it's probably that it's just a well-engineered system. And also, they're all the same, aren't they? Whereas, I imagine even with the same version of Android, there's probably vagaries in the way that Android Auto is deployed or works. So I can imagine it being a much harder job to do it with an Android than it is with an Apple system.
In saying that, my wife was having issues, which hence her getting the dongle. But that could be our car's problem rather than CarPlay.
And that's the other thing, because it does depend on your car's firmware, for want of a better word, and how old it is. Because, I mean, this car I've got is 10 years old, and I think it's just a bit fussy about what it connects and how it connects.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
It must be very difficult. I haven't had a car in regular use for probably 15 years now, so I've never used Android Auto, and I don't go anywhere. I've got a little scooter that I use to potter around locally, a little 50cc moped thingy. So Android Auto has just always been something that someone else struggle with, and I see it come up on the MeWe group now and again, and people kind of talk about it, and I'm a bit lost with it, really. So I'm not much use, I'm afraid, on this particular subject. But I didn't know you had a car, Joe, so that was interesting to know.
I don't use it.
You don't use it?
Yeah, the missus does. I haven't used it for over a year, actually. Okay. I get the bus to and from work. It's much cheaper than getting a second car.
Sit and look at your folding phone.
Yeah, that's it.
That's good, yeah. But yeah, I perhaps I should become more aware of what Android Auto does, James, so I know what's what with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like, I don't know, it's like, you know, like Dex, like the desktop version of Android, or it's like the car version of Android, you know. So it's a completely different interface. It's the same apps, but they have to have special Android Auto versions, I think. So you'll get like a restricted list of your apps on the car, because it works on the screen in your car, you know. So you can get Pocket Casts and Teams and your phone and stuff. So you've got a big set of things you can scroll through, and it gives you a cut down sort of car touch friendly interface for Spotify or whatever. Although, frustratingly, they kind of also make it safe, and that means that they strip most of the things out and stop you from doing things. So it very annoyingly, if you try and scroll through, it'll think you're scrolling too much, and it'll stop and say pause for safety. So you just shout at it for a few seconds until it, and often that has the effect if you just say, well, forget about Android Auto, I'll go back to my phone, which is, you know, sitting on the on the mount, which is defeating the object of it.
It sounds a bit like when I turn on my TCL television and it goes into this Google TV mode, and it wants to sign in. I mean, I've never done it, but it wants to sign into my Google account, and I use a Roku box on my television, and so I never need to use it. But I guess that's what it does on there. You sign into your account, and you get some sort of version of the apps that you would get on your phone or your tablet or whatever, but you need a keyboard or a mouse or something.
I mean, with this, it's just your phone presenting an alternative view, but it's channeling it onto the screen in the car. You know, that's how it does it. Right. But it does make it, and when it works well, as I say, it's really good, because you can just, it's easy to get to whatever your music, your podcasts are, and you can just use the car's own interface, and it links up with the Bluetooth, and it does all that automatically. And it's a bit like with your TV. Most people would never use, like, every car's got its own built-in sat nav system or whatever these days, but they're usually pretty poor. And
I was going to get on that next.
So it's like, just like, no one uses their TV's built-in apps because they're rubbish. You're better off plugging a box in. It's the same principle. You know, you just plug your phone in and use the Google Maps and everything, which you know is up to date, rather than the built-in one in the car.
Yeah. I was going to ask, James, with Gemini added to Android Auto, have you had much experience with Gemini?
Oh, a little bit. It offers to do things like read your emails and summarize them and stuff. And I've just said no whenever it's asked that, to be honest. Yeah. So I haven't really tried it. Cause
I'm trying to drive.
Trust it. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Although Outlook, they've scanned it now, but with Cortana or one of the previous Microsoft things, it had a thing where it would read you your emails through the through a Bluetooth. And that was quite good. But I don't know if they haven't got that anymore because they pulled it out and it's part of Office 365 now. And I'm not quite sure. I need to try that, actually, if that works. But I haven't really tried the Gemini ones. I'll tell you what it does, very annoyingly, is it'll say, and it's not really Gemini's fault, but it'll say to you, oh, do you want to reply to this message? And I'll say, no. And it appears on the screen, no. And then nothing happens. And then she says, do you want to reply to that message? And I say, no. And it appears on the screen, no, no. Nothing happens. And then she says, do you want to reply to this message? I say, no. And it says, no, no, no. And then she says, okay, then. In a rather hurt tone of voice, and it goes away. It happens every single time.
Yes. It's a little too human.
Yeah. Yes, quite.
That thing that I just spoke about, going back to the USB ports, I'll put that onto the group in MeWe so that people can see the outcome of what Gemini said, because there are some interesting points about the way in which spring contacts work inside ports and all that sort of stuff. There's a load of technical stuff, so I'll stick that up on the group and people can have a look at it. Okay.
Yeah, great. One more, if that's all right. Yeah, yeah. I've already posted about this, but this is about my wife's. So I've got her into these Galaxies, but she's got a Galaxy S23 FE. And I thought I was being clever because I bought a cheap one. Well, I think I bought an S23 from you, Ted, and it was a bit too small, so my son had that one. And I got her an S23 FE because it had a bigger screen.
Right.
And anyway, I got it from one of these big resellers, you know, the ones that have every color, every model, and you just pick it off the list. And it wasn't very expensive. And then it came, and it looked great, looked good as new, you know, and I was very pleased with myself. Anyway, she dropped it, I mean, not very far, actually. It was a fairly casual in the supermarket, and it busted the screen, you know, and that, you know, and there's nothing you could do about it. It was a big colory splodge in the corner, and, you know, you could see it was getting blacker and blacker. So I took it to one of these low, there's a really good shop up the road from here that do same-day repairs, and they're not too expensive. And they're really, I mean, they work like, you know, they're open, I think, 7 till 10, 7 days a week. It's amazing.
Wow.
And anyway, I took it up to them, and they had it. And when I went back to pick it up, they said, oh, yeah, did you know that it was an American version? And I said, was it? And they said, well, and he got the casing out, and he said, well, it looks, and it had one of these 5G M-Wave antennas on the side, which are not in this country. You know what I mean? They're like a little blob.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, it shouldn't have this. And then he poked around and said, oh, well, yeah, I can see this cooling chamber that isn't there at the back. And his conclusion was that it was a third-party, a.k.a. fake housing that they'd put on it. He thought it had a genuine screen, but this housing was fake. And he said that could have caused problems with cooling if you'd done something intensive on it. And, you know, it might even have caused the screen to, you know, be less able to respond to being dropped because it's not made of the right materials or something. So they gave me a new, according to them anyway, they put it in a genuine Samsung housing, and the phone's as good as new, so I was very happy with the service. But it just gave me pause for thought that these bargain price phones, you may not actually be getting what you think you're getting, and it's quite possible that they're actually buying, you know, refurbishing broken ones but using third-party bits, maybe even third-party batteries as well, which put me off a little.
Where did you buy it from?
So his office, Savermart was the name of the seller on eBay. I mean, and they're, you know, on the face of it, they look okay. They've got 99.9% feedback and all the rest of it. And when you buy it, it just comes as in a plain brown packet, you know, with no accessories, nothing else. It's just the phone. Mm-hmm. But it looked pretty good. I mean, the screen looked brand new. I mean, I think it probably had been replaced. And if it hadn't been for this little episode, I would probably have had no reason to complain about it. Mm-hmm. They say they're refurbished. They don't say anything about what's happened to them. But I wasn't expecting that, I have to say. It never occurred to me that you might have a non-genuine casing or something like that.
No. So did you save a lot of money by doing what you
well,
did?
Well, yeah. Well, I did. Well, yes and no, I suppose. It's one of these things, isn't it? It was, I mean, I didn't pay much for it. Well, I say much. It was a fair price for a phone of that age, and it had a warranty supposedly with it. But we wouldn't have covered you for dropping it. But I think overall, I think I probably would now pay a bit more and get one that I was pretty confident was all genuine rather than taking a risk that it might not be.
It's a bit tricky if you've got a seller that's got 99.9% positive feedback, and you think, well, and that's not from, because I went and had a look at the site as well, the link, and that's not just a few people. That's nearly 13,000 feedbacks. And, yeah, and you think to yourself, well, this should be good. And
a big sample size, isn't it?
So, as I say, I suppose you only know if it's a problem, and it may be. It would be just the same if I dropped it with a genuine Samsung casing on it as not. It did cause them a bit of a problem when they were repairing it, though. They said that it had been stuck together with something other than the normal glue, and that had made it very difficult to dismantle. So, again, and they managed it in the end, but it took them, it was more difficult than they expected. So it does mean that if you do need to get these things repaired or whatever, that it's perhaps going to be a little bit harder than if you bought it new. Because I was impressed, by the way, about, well, the cost of repairs does seem to have come down. Because, again, my son had a Galaxy 10, Note 10 or whatever, and he busted the screen on that. And it was like a ridiculously expensive repair. It was like £300 or something, which is far more than the phone was worth. But I think I paid 130 to them to do this, and that was a same day service. And if everybody to send it away for a day or two, you could got it fixed for about £100, which didn't feel as bad, you know, as historically when you think of phone screens being like crazily expensive.
One thing I will say about Samsung, though, which I found out when I had the S23 Ultra, was that S23 Ultra, on the box, it had NZ on the coding, and after a bit of a dig around, I found out that the person who'd bought it had been in New Zealand, and so I was a bit concerned about that. And I said to the person I bought it from, "Do you know the history of this?" And they didn't particularly. They think they knew someone did live in New Zealand, so they probably bought it out. Anyway, the long and the short of this is that I got onto Samsung. I know this is kind of moving away from your story a bit because it's not eBay, but I went to Samsung and kind of asked them about this, and they said, "No worries, it doesn't matter. Wherever you buy the phone, America, New Zealand, UK or France, you'll get the worldwide honoured warranty, and it basically doesn't matter." So the fact that you got one that was sourced in America, as far as Samsung are concerned, that just would have no bearing on anything. They would honour whatever went wrong with it. Well, not dropping it, obviously.
Well, that's the thing. And I think, to be fair, it probably wasn't from America. It was more that they bought the knockoff casings from some Chinese warehouse who obviously made them for the American market, I suppose. But I never would have noticed it otherwise. But it's hard to say. I wouldn't say I wouldn't recommend them in some ways, because it was fine when I had it. If we hadn't dropped it, I probably would have been none the wiser. But yeah, it was an interesting experience nonetheless.
And that's not to say everything they sell has got the fake
And I'm sure it isn't. They'll get them in, goodness knows, in job lots from somewhere, and some of them will have damage, and they'll fix some of them, and other ones will be fine, I imagine.
Yeah, I suspect so.
I must admit that I steer clear of eBay. I like our classifieds group. I think that most people in our classifieds group are very fair, and pricing is fair. But if you're up against it financially and you really don't want to spend as much money as that, then eBay is very tempting. And if I was in that position and I looked at 13,000 feedbacks and 99.9% positive, I would, like you, be very tempted.
Definitely.
I think as long as you know what you're getting. I mean, obviously, you know you're not getting a brand new phone, and you've got to accept, I suppose, that it's bound to have been repaired, and it may or may not have been repaired with genuine brand new Samsung bits all the time. I guess it's not that unreasonable.
Tell me, James, do you have any other parts of the Galaxy system that you use with your 24 Ultra, like a watch or a tablet or earbuds or anything like that?
No, I don't. You know, I don't have any of it. Okay. I haven't ever really had other things, accessories. I mean, I've got a really cheap wired headset, which I use all the time because it actually works remarkably well. And I've got some really cheap Anker earbuds I bought on special from Amazon, which aren't very good, but I'm not really a connoisseur of these things. I'm more interested in function, and I use it for making like work calls for work rather than you know, listening to music or anything. So no, I haven't actually, I'm sorry to say.
Okay. But we were talking before we were recording about the fact that you do use a smartwatch, or you want to.
Yeah, well, I'd like
to. Right.
Yeah, I like watches a lot, and I've always worn watches, and I've always fancied a smartwatch just because I think they're kind of cool and I like watches. But the trouble is, they're generally all about fitness and exercise and heart rate and stuff, which is completely lost on me. But I still would like to try one, so I will have to do that one of these days. And probably, and it would make sense to have a Galaxy one or something like it, given I've got the Galaxy phone.
It would, yeah. And there are always deals on Galaxy watches, I find. And you know, they're really good also at keeping the things up to date. So you could get one that is quite old and cheap, and still they'll be pushing out updates to it. So it certainly is. It's some. Well, anyway, we'll come back to watches later, won't we? In our little show. So have you got an app for us in the app wrap?
Well, I have. I mean, the one I picked, and it's a bit of a cheat, I suppose, is the New York Times Games app, because it has Wordle, which is something I go in and out of, along with a load of other ones. But if you have the subscription, you get all this added content. And I suppose, because I kind of like data and stuff, there's a thing called the Wordle bot, which will analyze all your games of Wordle and will advise you on your strategy and tell you how well you did. And it's fascinating. So it'll tell you what you should have done and how many people did a particular move. So it's all nonsense, really. But I do like that, so I would recommend that. And there's a few other games. And the trouble with them is they're a thief of time. You know, there's one called Spelling Bee, where you have to get as many words as you can out of the same letter, and it'll tell you how many. And you get levels, you know, and you get obsessed with getting to genius, because it tells it's impressed when you get to genius, you see, and I value that. But you can find yourself sitting there thinking, oh, you know, if I just need to get three more words to get to genius, so I have to be careful with it, because it is addictive. But I would recommend that.
So this is an app on your phone, is it?
Yeah, it is. So you can get it by various routes, but the New York Times have got this app. And if you use the app, it stores you have an account, and it stores your progress and compares you against other people and stuff like that. So I always use the app.
Any idea how much it costs?
Oh, the subscription, the app's free, and you can have it with a free subscription, for the free use if you want. But if you want to get all the extra bits, you have to pay, I think it's $25 a year or something. It's not actually that expensive. It's expensive, I suppose, for what it is, given you can play it for free. But if you want the extra bits, you have to pay for it.
This was in the news this week. Wordle was in the news. I don't know if you saw it, but apparently they've taken the decision to start reusing five-lettered words. Up to now, they've completely uniquely... And basically what they're saying is that they've run out of words. So they've got to start again and randomly choose stuff that they've already used. So there's a change.
I never knew that.
Somebody kept a list of them all. some very sad person.
Someone like me, probably.
I can't remember how many there were. Something thousand words, which were available. But, okay. So I'm looking at their website, and I'm not seeing a link to an app. That's why I asked about the...
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Download our app. Yeah, I've got it. Download our app for iPhone. Oh, no, that's for iPhone, not for Android.
There definitely is one. Okay. I have it. I don't know. It must be in the Play Store somewhere.
Yeah, I guess so. Right, okay, then. That's cool. Have you got any apps for us, Joe, or not?
No, I was just going to say that I'm a sucker for these silly games. LinkedIn have loads on there now that I play quite often. There's one called Queens, where there's like a queen on different rows. Yeah, I'm very sad.
the games thing is quite big these days. They're trying to suck people into playing these games all the time. I noticed on Reddit, even on the left-hand side there's a big badge that says play such and such game, and there's games in Netflix now which they're trying to get people to play. Games is quite big, I think.
Well, they make you feel guilty when you don't play as well. So they're like saying, the company you work for in the top 10%, if you play, they might get higher up and don't care if I play.
And no benefit at all. It's a bit like these three one-armed bandit games we used to play on Symbian. And you get this three-armed bandit and you play the game and then you suddenly realise that it's completely pointless. You can't really win anything. you just make the thing make a noise if you win, and that's the end of it, really. Let's move away from games and get into the news. Joe, some honour news. The Magic V6.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were taking this one.
Well, only because it's honour, I threw it back at you. But the V6 is kind of around the corner. It looks like Honour have confirmed that it's going to be debuting at Barcelona MWC in March.
Yeah.
Honour have already said that they will be attending the event, and it's on the 1st of March at Palau du Congreso de Barcelona, and we'll start at 1 p.m. CET, whatever CET is.
That's wonderfully done, Ted, that was.
Thank you. So the rumours say that it'll be bringing a 7,000 milliamp hour battery, but probably about 3,000 in the UK. it'll be silicon carbon, and it's going to have a 200 megapixel primary camera, Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5. And that's about it, really. They're also talking about at MWC bringing out more about the robot phone. Now you were looking at this, weren't you? In a previous show, and they're actually showing proper pictures of this now on GSM Arena. Anyway, do you think there's any mileage in that?
Well, there was a lot of excitement about it at CES because they had a preview there, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe for content creators, it's because it's got the gimbal on the, it's a three-axis gimbal on the camera. So maybe for certain people's needs. And this is what I like to see, though, like different phones for different people's needs.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. But yeah, it's not for everyone, is it?
Are you going to upgrade to the Magic V6?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I do love the V5. At the moment, I've got it, and they've not asked for it back, the V5, which is great. if they have forgotten about it, I'll have to send it over to you, Ted, to have a little play.
That'd be good. But it certainly hasn't got a 7,000 milliamp hour silicon carbon battery, has it?
No, it is bigger, quite big though. I can't remember exactly what it is now, but it is big. But yeah, this looks like again another nice refinement, because the V3 to the V5 was quite a nice jump. And John Trimmer, actually, when he held my V5, he was really impressed and immediately bought one on Classified afterwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is impressive when you feel it.
Cool. Okay, next story is the next phone, which actually feels like a bit of an old story now, because 2 weeks ago we recorded and this news came out like the day after, I think. And this is about this phone that is going to be run three operating systems, Windows 11 being one of them, Linux being the other, and Android the third. You can boot it into Windows 11 separately, but you can't on the fly do the Android and Linux. Sorry, you can on the fly do Android and Linux, but you've got to restart it basically so that it uses a separate
partition.
Yes, that's the word. Well done.
to
get Windows 11 going. $549 it is said to be. It's also a 6.58-inch screen, so it's not too huge. 256 gigabyte, 12 gigs of RAM, an 8-core Snapdragon chipset, but it doesn't really say what it's going to be. 5,000 milliamp hour battery, military standard certification, and IP69K. So actually looks like it's going to be a bit rugged. Anyone ever had a rugged phone?
No, I haven't. But really? this is an interesting device, isn't it? because it's relatively low end, the SoC, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
But running the three different operating systems is really impressive. And
well, it's like that. What was it, the Touch HD 2, the old HTC one that could run Windows Mobile and Android?
Do you remember that? Long ago.
I always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to have a play, I think, with this. I can imagine Jim Fowle going for this.
Yeah, definitely. I've got an Ubuntu phone here. Well, actually, it's a Fairphone running Ubuntu Touch. And I pick it up and I turn it on and I have a look at it and I play with it. And I just don't have the energy to launch myself into it full headlong in because I just think I'm so used to Android that there'd be so much missing in there that I don't know. And that's the approach I have towards Linux generally, I think. But Windows 11, the question is, the reviews I've looked on YouTube is that not many people really know terribly what they're going to do with the phone side of it. Are you going to be able to make phone calls? Are you going to be able to do text messaging? Is all of that stuff going to work? Because you basically can't do much of that or any of that on a Windows computer unless you're using PhoneLink. Don't know. Yeah.
So is there not a phone app or a phone application, is there?
We don't know.
Get your family to get Teams and you'll be doing Teams calls.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. So anyway, an interesting little device, and it'll be coming our way soon. An uninteresting device on the face of it is the Moto G17. And the reason that it's uninteresting is that Motorola, and we've spoken about the EU rules about updates, the regulations around that before on this show. But the Moto G7 has blatantly said that they're releasing it with zero operating system updates, but five years of security. So what they're doing is that they're making the use of a loophole in the wording of the regulations for Europe, and they're saying, well, we're offering it 5 years of updates. As you said, we've got to. It doesn't say we've got to offer you five OS updates. It says five years of updates, and this is how we're going to get around it. Now, the G17 is a low-end phone. I've got a feeling it's only about 100 quid, isn't it? It's fairly budget, a budget phone. But that's what they're doing, and anyone outraged by this?
No, I don't like it. I can see why they're doing it. But yeah, I don't like it at all. It's poor from Motorola, really.
It is, although I suppose the target audience, I mean, they're probably not going to be that bothered about it. And the security updates is at least responsible, but the average person who buys that may not really care, so long as it makes phone calls and does what they want it to do, just about. It probably would be okay.
That is true. On that note, actually, the amount of people I've met with lower end phones like this, they don't do the updates. They really don't bother doing them.
No, they don't. Yeah. My in-laws have got these, and they don't, and then they're not bothered. I mean, as I say, then my father-in-law say, well, you know, I can ring you on it, and I can go on my email, and that's really as much as he wants to use.
Yeah, that's it.
So, 170 euros, I've just discovered. 100, so that's going to be about 140 quid, probably. And it's, you know, it's got an LCD display. It's quite a big phone. It's got a Helio G81 chipset, which is a decidedly low end. But there is a micro SD card slot. There's a small amount of RAM at 4 gigabytes, but it has got stereo speakers. It will suit someone. I mean, it would, for example, it would suit my dad absolutely fine for what he wants to do with his phone. I guess you're right, James. I guess that most people are not going to be looking for that. It's usually in geek land that we kind of raise our eyebrows and think, naughty Moto.
Yes, and you wouldn't, but yeah, you and I wouldn't buy that phone for ourselves anyway, for lots of other reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put it this way, I've never had a customer say, oh, how many years of updates does it get? operating system
what you mean
security.
It doesn't get Android 19?
Now, Joe, you were telling me about, you saw this before I did in the press, about the privacy display on the upcoming Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra. And after you told me, I went and had a look at some videos, and that is really very impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So, like, it uses, it can turn off different parts of the screen, can't it? From what it looks like, which is really impressive. And because a lot of people do get them privacy screen protectors, don't they?
Yeah.
For this very reason. So yeah, it's quite impressive. Apparently, they've been working on it for about 5 years.
Yeah,
so it's not been a short-term thing. Yeah.
And if you turn the display even down to the now bar, whatever it's called, if you turn the display, you can get it to block out even before the rest of the screen blocks out. So it looks very impressive, I have to say. But it's not back portable because it only works with the hardware. So
the hardware, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be S26 Ultra and onwards. Don't expect it on to be back ported because it's not physically possible. But that looks quite neat.
Definitely.
If you're skipping a generation, James, that you might end up with that.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Or you might hang on and get your bank manager to give you some money. $2,900 for a Samsung Galaxy Z Trifold. Apparently it launched the other day in America, and it sold out in 20 minutes. Now, I don't know how many...
All three of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, that story doesn't say how many were sold, but and maybe they're being tight-lipped about that, but... sold out in 20 minutes. Money is no object, it seems.
Yeah. It's for people who've got too much money. More money than sense, isn't it, really?
Or some eBay is doing a scalper. Is it scalping? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
Buying them all up. Anyway, so the trifold's coming. I saw a review on Flossy Carter's. He actually got one imported. He paid $4,000 for his because he bought it from South Korea and got it shipped to America. And he got one in quick, and I saw him review it, and it does look very impressive. Very nice. He was really impressed. He was concluding that this is his, you know, favourite device of the moment, and they've done it really well, et cetera, et cetera. So it does look cool. But
someone like Flossy, though, really utilises it to the max.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You can imagine he likes it, but
yeah.
I don't know if I'd use it to the max myself.
No.
I'm happy with just normal fold.
Yeah. And it's like we were saying earlier, like James was saying that, you know, when you sit in front of a computer most of the time and not out and about sitting on buses like you do, Joe, then you can argue, well, perhaps I don't really need this because I'm surrounded by 20 other devices that I can use anyway.
But something that big on the bus, I'd need the privacy stuff from the S26 Ultra.
Yeah, exactly. Don't suppose you'll get that. 25th of February, apparently, is the Galaxy Unpacked event, where the aforementioned S26 Ultra, S26 and X26 Plus are going to be revealed, along with the Galaxy Buds 4 and the Galaxy Buds 4 Pro. So there's something for your diary. And I recommend to you, James, the Samsung Galaxy Buds 3. Not the Pro ones, because they're the ones you shove down your ear canals, but the Buds 3 are really good. I really like them. They sit on the edge of my ears, and they work really, really well. So I would recommend those for a Galaxy user. What we would recommend for a Motorola user, though, Joe, wouldn't we, as motivators, is the Signature, I think. I was looking at a review of the Signature on YouTube again last night, and having a look at what the reviewer thought of it and the specifications of it, and it does look really quite impressive. It's on sale already in the UK for £899. I don't know if you've got any in your shop or you're going to be getting any in the shop for customers on contract, are you?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to, because we only seem to have lower-end motos, which is really frustrating. We did the 60, the standard 60 this year, Edge 60, but yeah, that's as high-end as we've got with moto, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
But this really does look like a lovely device.
It does, doesn't it? And I also like the fact that it's going to have a proper always-on display. And apparently, going by the official UK product information sheet, that is confirmed. It says it's an LTPO, always on display. And if I was to buy one and it doesn't bleed and well work, I would send it back to them because that's what it says. So anyway, yeah, Snapdragon 8 Gen 5, up to 1 terabyte, 16 gigs of RAM, a triple 50 megapixel camera setup, most of it with OIS by the looks of it, stereo speakers. It's got, you know, all the bells and whistles really. DisplayPort 1.4, so it should work with a cable out to Smart Connect as well as wireless, USB-C 3.1 Gen 2, ultrasonic fingerprint scanner. Is that a first for Moto? Do you know, I've got a feeling it is. Have we seen an ultrasonic on a Moto before? I don't think we have we, Joe?
I don't think so, no, because that is flagship, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I don't think we have. Anyway, the only thing that is maybe a bit questionable is that my Edge 60 Pro has got a 6,000 milliamp hour silicon carbon battery, and this one's coming with a 5,200 one, which is kind of not as good. So
no,
not quite sure.
I think I know why, because... Ah. I've got hands on and it is incredibly thin.
Oh, right.
Incredibly
okay.
thin. It's, I mean, you've got the dimensions on there, Ted, 162 by 76 by 6.99 millimeters.
Yeah.
So it's very thin. It's only 186 grams as well. And I can attest it. I can say, like, it really is really light compared to other flagships I've felt with all them specs. It does feel really nice in the hand. I saw the Martini Olive version.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, because I went to an event with Motorola, the football I mentioned before the show. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's very nice, very, very nice.
And we've got 7 years of updates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a first for Motorola as well. The ultrasonic fingerprint scanner and the 7 years of updates, I think, are two firsts.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
And it's a long time since they've had a flagship slab as well, so it's nice to see. I tested the camera very briefly, but it seemed like a really nice camera system. The telephoto was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkin Lee was telling me that Dexomark, which is, I don't know, there's arguments that they're not the greatest, but Dexomark have ranked it up there with the Honor Magic 8 Pro's camera system. He was telling me. So if that's the case, that's very impressive. I really enjoyed that camera system.
Cool. So yeah, it looks like it's quite promising. Anyway, the other thing that I was going to mention was that it has got. What was I going to say? I've lost my train of thought now. Rescue me, someone.
Is it charging? Is it still charging?
Oh, yeah, that was it. 90-watt wire charging and 50-watt Qi charging.
I know you too well, Ted.
and 10-watt reverse Qi charging. But they've not been tempted into the whole the Qi 2 thing by the looks of it. That'll have to be, for anyone that wants that, it'll be via a case. And then that throws your 6.9 millimetres thickness out the window.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But this is hideously overpriced, in my humble opinion, even though the last flagship, which was the 50 Ultra, no, the 50 Pro, no, the Ultra, so the Edge 50 Ultra was 1,050 quid, and this is 900 quid. I still reckon this is going to be going down to, in the end, probably 599. So that's when I should be jumping in, I reckon.
Yeah, I think when you look at the grand scheme of things, the specifications it's got, and you compare that 899 price, because the S20 6 Ultra, for example, when that comes out, is going to be a lot higher, isn't it, really? And it's got the top-end chipset, it's got decent camera system, it's it's got everything there, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Does it say it starts at 256, though?
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
But the 1 terabyte, the 1,050 quid Edge 50 Ultra that came out, their last flagship, was always the 1 terabyte version with 16 gigs of RAM. So the price that we're being given here is the 256/12 one. So the 1 terabyte 16 equivalent of the Edge 50 Ultra might well be more than the 1050 that came out at. We have yet to see.
Especially with the problems we're getting going forward. Storage and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. That's the Motorola signature anyway. Link in the show notes to that and also to the official UK product information sheet, which I'll hold them to. Joe, what have you been up to for the last fortnight in your phone world?
Not a great deal. So I finally made a little bit of content, but it's literally just an unboxing and first look at the Unihertz Titan 2, a BlackBerry in 2026, I put, which is quite poor for me because that's 2 weeks now. Like, I've basically had a shutdown due to ADHD or maybe me being a lazy beep. who knows? But yeah, it's a lovely device, actually, but it's very chunky. Big sorry to Aidan because I need to send it over to him, don't I? Long overdue. Luckily, Jim's a lovely bloke and doesn't mind playing with other stuff at the moment and his Titan 2 being out for so long. But I have had fun with it and I really do like the clickiness of the buttons. And I'll showcase that in the video. Silly things like that I love. My SIM continues to be in the Razer 60 Ultra. Which is now PSC stock, isn't
Yay.
It?
Yeah. we got a letter from Motorola saying to Joe and I, whatever devices we've got of theirs at the moment, we can keep them. Hurrah!
That's good.
But we kind of got done over, didn't we, Ted? Because mine was 40, so I sent it back. So you sent me over yours. We could have had two devices.
We could have, yeah. Oh, well. If that hadn't have happened, we both would have had one that we could have kept.
Oh, well. Can't complain, I guess. But, yeah, I've really, in the short time I've had my SIM in there, I have really grown to like it, despite the flip form factor not really being for me. One thing I do miss is having a telephoto. The main lens is fairly solid though, and cropping in from, say, 3x, maybe even 4x in good light, it does give fairly decent results. But one thing that highlighted it was these football matches I went to, and you really do miss a telephoto when you're at an event like that. So I attended the FIFA Women's Champions Cup matches. Yeah, which is really good. And that's when I got hands-on with the Motorola signature. I also got brief hands-on with the new watch as well, Ted, and that's quite nice too.
Yeah,
it's really nice. Because Wilkin was, of course, already rocking the signature and the watch, flexing his... both very nice devices. Motorola... really quite exciting to be a year to be a motivator. Hopefully they sort out the courier issues, but really exciting year.
Because the watch is a round one compared to the one that the Fit, which is the oblong one.
That's right, yeah.
And it's a little bit better specified with a better battery, but I'm not quite sure that it can be that much better, really, because I do think the Fit's very good.
Yeah, I really love the watch Fit. I do prefer a round watch face, though.
Right.
Although when you think about it, actually, for a smart functionality, maybe the square or rectangle is probably better in a sense, but yeah, I prefer the more classic look. One thing I will say is the new watch is quite chunky, but I didn't find it to be an issue. It looked quite nice. I didn't put it on, though.
I remember having the Watch 360, the first Motorola one, and that was just so ludicrously chunky. I sent it back.
this one is fairly chunky, I must say. I didn't try it on my wrist either. I probably should have given it a go.
Right.
But I think it'll be all right. It looks very nice, though. He had this metal strap on it as well, which looked really smart. Because my OnePlus Watch 2, I've actually bought a similar strap to that from Amazon to give it that look. So, yeah, it's very snazzy looking.
Is that like a bracelet strap or is it just a metal look rubber strap?
Yeah, a metal bracelet strap. Yeah, I quite like. Yeah.
Yeah, I love bracelets again because I'm lazy. Cause you just click them on and you haven't got to worry about fiddling around with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so I hope you get over your lack of enthusiasm for everything. And
That's it. It's not enthusiasm. See, it's I really want to do it. Like I say, I think it's down to ADHD. You sort of have can't remember what it's called now, but you. It's paralysis. It's a paralysis of doing things, basically, which is really frustrating because I mean I've scripted my Moto Razr 60 Ultra. I've scripted the video, but I just couldn't get it started. And it's, to be honest, it's once I get to filming part of it, I'll be in the flow and I'll be really hyper focused and getting it done. But it's just the starting of the video that I seem to struggle with at times, And obviously working as well and all that jazz.
Yeah,
when I do have a day off, I just want to be lazy as well. So there is that element to it.
Yeah.
But I'll get on it soon. I will, because I want to send it back to you, Ted, so you can have a proper play as well.
Yeah, when it does come back to me, I'll do a comparison with the Razr 50 that I've got here, which is probably what I should have done before I sent it to you, really. But because of that whole cock-up with Motorola, it just kind of usurped that plan. So, when you finish with it, I will take it back and give it a run. But I think I'm the same as you to a large degree about flip phones. Great idea, but the outside of the flip phone, my eyes are too old. James, have you ever had in hand a flip phone?
You know, I haven't. No, well, not a modern one. I mean, I love the old, old days. But no, and I've never seen the point of them. But like you say, because when it's folded, the screen's too small. When it's unfolded, it's the same as a normal phone. So you might as well have a normal phone.
Yeah. Except that it's really good in the pocket. So when you when you put it away and put it in your pocket, that's great. It's so small. And also it's good as a clock, you know, as a little notification device. Just slip it out of your pocket and you can see what's going on. And only open it up when you actually need to do something. I can see the pluses for it. I really can.
Well, I love the physicality of answering the... I mean, I had an Ericsson T39M back in the day, which is still one of my favorite ever phones, and you can just pick it up and you flick the little thing open and you answer the call. It's great. And if you're in, you can theatrically bang it shut if you're unhappy with the caller at the end as well. So I miss that a lot.
In its defense, the out screen, I don't use it a lot, but if you wanted to, you could. The functionality is pretty good on this on the Razr 60 Ultra. It's just not for me. I think I would, if it wasn't one I had to look after, I would probably go caseless with it. I think the experience would be a lot nicer. But I didn't want to do that when I had to give it back to Moto, and I definitely don't want to do it now that I want to give it back to Ted. So case will stay on.
I think that the fact that the 60 Ultra screen is bigger, I know that you've got less space for your fingers than the Razr 50, but having the slightly bigger screen on the Ultra might actually make a difference to me. So I shall be keen to see when it does come back to me the differences when I've got them both in my hand. So we shall look forward to that, and hopefully you can find the time to get stuck into doing whatever you're doing with it. I've been stuck into Pixel again this fortnight. And my SIM card, because of a problem that I've had with EE and my SIM card, which I posted in the group, so I won't bore you with here. But basically, my SIM card, I think, is knackered. And eventually, I spoke to EE today, and they're going to send me a new one, so it should arrive tomorrow. But when I woke up in the morning, it kept dropping out. And the best phone I had that didn't do that was the Pixel 9. Consistently, it was the best. It did still drop out sometimes, but not as much as any other phone I've got in hand. So the last fortnight, I've just had my SIM card in the Pixel 9, and I've been been actually quite enjoying having a stable kind of experience with one phone. It's not something I do normally, as you know, the serial SIM swapper. I'm just swapping between phones all the time. And this last fortnight is the longest time I can remember when I've not been doing that between phones. And actually, I think I've appreciated that stability. I think it's worked quite well, particularly as the Pixel tablet this week was given a new lease of life with two extra OS updates from Google, which is great. I reported on that in the Tech Addicts podcast yesterday at the weekend with Gareth, so I won't go all through that again. But the whole kind of Pixel thing is really good, and I've also been playing with the desktop mode. The Pixel 9 has got the desktop mode capability. And I also put this post into the MeWe group where I showed a picture of my desk, kind of, you know, deck style or Smart Connect style. And it's not as clever as those, not yet, but certainly. But it works really well. And if for anyone that wants to do that desktop mode stuff, just hook up your keyboard and mouse to the phone by Bluetooth and you're away, basically. Just use a monitor. You can use it. It works really well. They've got some Windows stuff going in terms of resizing smoothly now, which they didn't have before, and yeah, it all works really, really well. So now when my new SIM card arrives tomorrow, however, I'll probably be back to being a serial SIM swapper again. But
you may not need to, Ted. Remember, I'm sending you a test SIM for you to use.
Oh, yes. Have you are you still onto that? So you got an O2. I forgot about that, actually. I need to...
Yeah, so it's just a matter of me pulling my finger out and getting it sent to you. I've had it here for ages, so I'm sending over you the 8 Lite with it as well.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about that as well. So the thing I need to do with the O2 thing is to check what kind of coverage we've got in North Wales, I suppose. But, yeah. I can do that, and that'll be really interesting. And if I do get a second SIM card, then, yes, you're quite right. I may be more encouraged to keep my main SIM card into one phone and use that that second SIM, like most sensible reviewers do, for the phones they're reviewing. So we shall see. Right. Okay, then. Well, that's about it for me, I think. Let's get to photo of the month for December and photo of the year for 2025. So the photo of the month for December was shot by Ian Bundy on an Oppo Find X9 Pro, and it's called Find Reflection. So first of all, that made up the last place for the photo of the year winner, and then we put the poll out for the photo of the year winner. That was won by Marek Polowski with his photograph Boat Float, which was taken on a Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra. So he is crowned photo of the year winner for 2025, and Ian got the December slot. So James, any observations on either of those?
I'm the last person to comment on photos, I'm afraid. I mean, they're definitely nice photos, and that's about as much insight as I can give, I'm afraid.
Fiendish. Joe,
I'm
make
a terrible,
up for it.
I'm afraid I'm terrible philistine with this stuff.
Okay, no worries.
I mean, I voted for Ian's for the December, because I really do like this shot. The reflection's lovely. I like the colours. I mean, that camera system's brilliant, and Ian's definitely the one to get the maximum from it. And Marek's, is it Pawlowski or...
Pawlowski.
I thought it might be Pawlowski. Yeah, I thought it might be Pawlowski, but maybe I'm wrong.
Pawlowski, is
it? I don't know, because the Polish, they put V for W.
Oh, okay.
I might be wrong.
He's never pulled me up on that. I've always called him Pawlowski.
I might be wrong. Or he's incredibly a gent and he just thinks... Yeah. But yeah, his shot is wonderful. I do love this shot. Again, another reflection shot. But it's just so simple. But it does get you thinking about that boat and what it's doing in the middle of that nothingness.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful piece of art. And I we did actually have this as a photo of the week at some point, or we talked about it on the show when Steve was here. And I remember looking at it then and thinking, good grief, that is so wonderfully shot. You could put that on your wall without any question at all. It's a lovely photo. It's beautifully cropped. And I remember complaining when we first looked at it about the top left-hand corner, mind you. I said to Marek, what's that going on in the top left-hand corner? And we thought it was probably a reflection of some reeds or something. And in an ideal world, if it was mine, I'd probably try and get them out. But yeah. But it's not that distracting.
It's only a small critique, isn't it? But I can imagine someone sleeping in that boat. Well, I've just docked it on to have a little nap.
Yeah, definitely. Right, okay, so well done, Marek. Congratulations to you. And we'll be back with another one next year. I was talking to the group members in MeWe about whether we want to continue to do photo of the week, photo of the month, photo of the year. And it was a resounding yes from everyone. So we shall carry on as we have been doing and continue. As we will in the classifieds. Once again, the classifieds has been kind of a bit quiet lately. I was looking at it today and there's loads and loads of wanteds. People have got loads of stuff they want to attract in, but there's not a huge amount of sales. I did pick up one phone. Adrian Pitt is selling a Nothing Phone 3A Pro, 256 gig, 12 gigabytes in mint condition, 250 quid, which is pretty good at the moment because Amazon is still selling new ones at 399, and this in mint condition will save you 150 quid. That was my pick. You've also got the last embers of the old style glyph lighting as well on that one, and not the matrix. So if you prefer that, you have retained that one as well. Slim pickings. James, did you find anything?
As we were talking about watches earlier on, there was a, where is it? Someone's got a watch on there, a Garmin one, I think, which does look quite kind of nice. I mean, it's got this sort of military, what is it, a Garmin 2X
Tactical
Instinct Solar Tactical, which sounds very, very exciting and maybe I can feel like you're in the military or something, although it looks, again, rather too much fitness oriented. But I would like to try a smartwatch, so if I'm using someone else's money, I'll have that.
Yeah, David Botfield, that is. So pop along there. The 2X Solar Tactical, I think. I've never had a Garmin watch, but I gather that they're really good and they've got really good battery lives. So I'm guessing there was nothing left for you, Joe.
Oh, I found something. Yeah, Jeremy Harpham's put a TCL NextPaper 11 tablet on there, and I've rather enjoyed your NextPaper phone. So, yeah, I'd probably like to have a play with that, actually. Mm. So, yeah, 109 quid. Case and pen with it as well. Not bad.
Very good. Okay, the Classifieds group is on MeWe, along with the PSC Photos group. If you want to join the Classifieds, you'll need to email me and have a discussion about that, because it is a closed members-only group, so not open to just anyone to join. So do that. I think we're done. Thanks ever so much for joining us again, James. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. A lot of fun, as always. That's been really good.
Super. Joe, we'll wish you all the best with getting over your blockage.
Thank you, yeah. That sounds awful, doesn't it?
Well, these things happen, you know, and it's very sad. But, we hope that you get over it and get back to normal functioning as soon as possible. PhoneShowChat.uk is our website. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find everything else. It's all on PodHub UK as well. All the audio podcasts, all the MeWe group links and all the rest of it. If you want to buy me a coffee for what I do, then you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe a coffee for what he does, it's at paypal.me/hickey85. So don't be shy in coming forward to do that, and we'll catch you next time on the Phone Show Chat in a fortnight's time. Bye for now.